So we're looking at prayer, and we're looking today at your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to show you a picture. This was our bathroom a week ago today. Out of necessity, we're in the process of getting new tiles and having a few things done in there. That means a new vanity as well, which is why you can see bare wall behind it. It's well documented that I'm not a handy person by nature. But as much as every man longs to be a creator of some sort and to build and fashion something with his hands, I do think it's just as built into every man's psyche to want to wreck stuff and to find some sort of pleasure in just breaking things. And so it was a real joy to tear stuff out of my house. When bits of the cabinetry didn't come out as I thought they might, it was liberating to know that it was all just going to the tip anyway, and so you can just bash it out and you can break it. Why not force it, even if it means having things fall apart in your hands? Now, tearing stuff apart is the fun bit. The hard bit is when you're choosing the new stuff to replace it with. That is painstaking labour. I understand that there are men out there who at this point in the process feel perfectly free and liberated to just dust themselves down and say, "Okay, sweetheart, you choose. I don't really care. Whatever you decide, I'm happy with." I really wish I was one of those men. But for some reason, and I can't explain it, I really care. And it's not because I've got any sort of flair for design, and it's not even that I've got a particularly keen eye for practicality, and it's certainly not that I don't trust my wife. It's none of those things. I just don't know. I don't know what it is, but I have to meddle in choosing everything, from the tiles to the grout that goes between the tiles, to the cupboards, to the bench tops, to the sinks, to the tapware, to the towel rails, to the soap holders, just everything for some reason. I just can't let it go. And then today we come to this prayer, "Your will be done." A prayer that says to God, "You choose. Whatever you decide, I'm happy with." But we've already addressed part of the problem, haven't we? It's so hard to let go of some things. We don't always know why, but it is just hard to let go. This is part of what we talked about with the kids. The essence of sin really is not wanting to let go, not wanting to give control or lordship to God, who is worthy, but to want to take that away from him and place the crown on our own heads. If we're going to pray this prayer with heart, "Your will be done," then we need to understand what God's will is. And so this is what I did this week. I plugged into my Bible study software, nerdy I know, a Greek word, thelema. I'm not sure exactly how to say it, but it's something like thelema. And it's the word used in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 for will. To figure out all the places where it spits out the word will, so we can figure out what God's will is. I got hundreds of hits. Turns out it's a pretty versatile word. It doesn't only mean will. Only mean God's will. You can use it to talk about anyone's will or want or desire or etc. But I did narrow it down to only the bits that talk about God's will and only using this word. And I've categorized them into the following three S words that appear above us. What is God's will? What it includes suffering, salvation, and submission. Now remember, this is a narrow and blunt way of doing things. This isn't necessarily the best way to perform a Bible study. There are other ways of discovering God's will other than just looking for the word will, because God didn't lock himself into using only one word for one thing. But I think for today's purposes, it's actually provided for us something simple and useful for the next 20 minutes or so, just to break down the will of God. So I'm going to start with suffering. And we're starting here because I think this is the worrying one. This is the one that we're concerned about when we get frightened of giving up our will to God. That's the fear, isn't it? That God's will for your life might include suffering or certainly things that you don't feel comfortable with. But sadly, it is the reality. There is suffering in this life. That was the reality for the Apostle Paul. So if you read the book of Acts, this is sort of in the decades following the life of Christ. Paul is an apostle. He goes around preaching the gospel to all people, and he gets an awful lot of backlash. And in fact, all of the apostles received very similar backlash. And Paul, in the part that that I'm speaking to you about in Acts, I think chapter 21, Paul is making a beeline back for Jerusalem so that he can preach the gospel there. But while he's on the way, he's staying with some Christian brothers, and he is warned that if he goes to Jerusalem, he will likely be imprisoned when he gets there. And so the people try to talk him out of it. Don't go, Paul. You'll be imprisoned. You may even be put to death. This is what Paul answered in Acts 21, verse 13. Paul said, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And since Paul wouldn't be persuaded, we said, those who were around him prayed, "Let the will of the Lord be done." And the will of the Lord was done. And Paul was imprisoned. And although he didn't die in Jerusalem, he did in fact later die for the name of the Lord Jesus. It turns out that's where their prayer, "Your will be done," led to the imprisonment and death of the very man they were praying for. So it's difficult, isn't it, to accept that suffering can be part of God's will. It's uncomfortable, not just because of the pain that's involved, the personal pain, but also difficult to accept because it doesn't seem to compute with the idea of a God who we are told is loving. That's why renowned and outspoken atheists often cry that the presence of suffering in the world, in fact, proves that God is either A, not real, or B, not good. Because if God was real, he would do something about suffering. But if he is real and he doesn't do anything about suffering, then therefore he must be evil. He can't be good. That's the rationale. And so the question is it possible for suffering to exist in a world where God is both real and good? And of course, I believe it is possible. Because in the presence of suffering, God has two options. Either to eliminate it altogether, which is what I know many of us would desire, or to perform the real act of strength, which is to harness that evil to do something good. Well, what good can come from suffering? I mean, actually, I think we all know this. There's an awful lot of good that can come from suffering. Lessons learned is one good that can come from suffering. Not all pain is bad. Some pain teaches us how not to live. As we experience consequences, we experience valuable life lessons. And so suffering can be good in the presence of lessons learned. Suffering can also be good in the case of strengthened character. The strongest and purest people have been purified in the crucible of pain. Suffering can and does often produce character. And today, I feel, would be a very strange day to forget Jesus' own suffering, considering this is what we remembered in the bread and the wine earlier. That's what we majored on during communion this morning, the suffering of Christ. Remember, the words, "Your will be done," aren't just the words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. They are the words that he himself prayed when he was facing the cross. He says, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Your will be done." And what was the Father's will for Christ? It was that suffering, that he would suffer and die for the sake of the lost. It turns out that even though it is within God's will for you and I to experience suffering, God isn't aloof or removed from that pain. He offered his own son, and Jesus offered his own life for the cruelest punishment for our sakes. Here's another word that my little word search spat out, another verse. Jesus gave himself for our sins, to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God, our Father. The harsh reality of this present evil age, as the verse says, is what makes Jesus' loving sacrifice so necessary. But when we pray, your will be done, we are praying aspirationally. We are praying with hope for something better to come, with high hopes for a better world. For God's will to be done, remember the next words, on earth as it is in heaven. Suffering is temporary and restricted only to this world. A time is coming when all that is evil will be swept away. And that too is what we're praying for when we say, your will be done ultimately on earth as it is in heaven. Bring heaven to earth and sweep away the evil and have it be done with forever. This focus on the suffering of Christ leads us into our second point this morning. It's God's will that we are saved. Or as the Galatians verse that I just read puts it, that we are delivered. But saved starts with S, so that's what we're using today, our salvation. Look, I tackled suffering first because it's the tricky one, because I think that's the scary one. That's the block when it comes to praying, your will be done. But not because it's the main one, because it definitely is not, resoundingly is not. I described before my method of Bible study for this week, where I just, you know, looked for the word and picked out the 60 or so verses that it hit. There were only a couple that talked about suffering. By far the bulk were in this category to talk about salvation. God's will is your salvation, and even better than that, in fact, your glorification. Not just that you be spared, but that you be lifted up and enjoy a good life with God. I think here's the payoff for this. Never, ever, ever doubt the goodness of God's will. Just as I shouldn't doubt the superiority of my wife's taste when it comes to choosing bathroom tiles and decor, when it comes to the will of God, there is no question, God's will is good. It is a perfect and good will. It may not always be easy to understand where he's at with the playing out of God's will. It may not even be easy to take in the short term. But would you rather a little pleasure now followed by eternal suffering, or a little pain now followed by eternal joy? I'm going to show you a few of the verses that remind us. This is just a smattering. By God's will, we have been sanctified. We have been made holy, purified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This one's Jesus' own words in the book of John. This is the will of my Father. It's spelling it out for us. What's the will of my Father? That everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day. Gee, do you feel better about praying, your will be done? Paul writes in Ephesians, he predestined us for the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purposes of his will. Okay, predestined is a big word. Adoption is a big word that I think probably most of us still get. But here's the point. The purpose of God's will is that we would be children of God. In him we have obtained an inheritance. That's what children receive, an inheritance. Having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. What is his will? That you and I would receive the inheritance that belongs to the oldest son, Jesus Christ. But that we get to be, remember I said, not only saved, but also we receive glorification with Christ. So salvation and glory is our hope for the future, but how can I know God's will for my life now? This is the third one. The word I'm using is submission. How can I know God's will for my life now? What's God's plan for my life today? How do I make choices? How do I know what to do? Now, what many of us mean when we ask this question is foreign, I think, to the world of the Bible. It's not really the answer that the Bible's trying to answer. It's not the question that the Bible is trying to answer. You know, when we ask questions like, oh, this job or that job, oh, what's God's will, I wonder? That's not really what God is talking about when he reveals his will in Scripture. Or this girl or that girl. Or this house or that house. Or, you know, what's God's will? What's God's plan? These are the questions we're usually asking when we think about seeking God's will, but I don't think they're the questions that God is trying to answer for us. You won't find those answers in the Bible, certainly not in that precise detail. When I did my search on God's will in the Bible, here's the second biggest category it came up with. I've used the word submission, but it's really just about doing good, just obeying God. This is the will of God, your sanctification. So that's, you know, your purity. And specifically, Paul writes to the Thessalonians that you abstain from sexual immorality. But more generally, God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. God does have quite specific expectations and demands on how we live our life. In this case, he's talking about our sexual ethic and who we give ourselves to. But God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Paul writes this to the Ephesians. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Oh, but how can I know what the will of the Lord is? Understand the will of the Lord. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he goes on and gives a bunch of illustrations for wives, for husbands, for children, for servants or workers. These are the parts where it sort of spells out what is expected in submitting to the law of the Lord. But actually, like I said, it's a me doing my little word search is a pretty clumsy way of studying the Bible in this regard, because it doesn't take into account the fact that the word will may not appear in a sentence or a passage that does reveal to us perfectly and plainly what God's will is. So, for example, one big problem is that thelema, the word I searched, is a Greek word. And the New Testament was written in Greek, but the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. What does God have to say before that? Well, I'm only going to pick out one verse here, but there's plenty in there. And here again, it doesn't even use the English word will, but desire we get. It's the same thing, isn't it? What does God desire? What's his will? I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Love and to know and draw near to God. Mostly, throughout the New Testament, when it talks about doing the will of God, it's talking expecting you to already know what it is. Not because it's trying to answer the questions about which girl should I date or which job should I take, but because we already know what God expects of us. We can sum it up in those words, in the word love. Love God, love your neighbours. Scripture invites us to summarise all the laws that way into that one word, love. And so if we consider this, your will be done, breaking it down into, you know, at least three things: suffering, salvation, submission, remembering that salvation really is the big one. I think we can play this out into a bunch of different scenarios that we might face in our life. So what about that scenario where you've applied for a job? You've already got a job. You've applied for a job. You don't know whether you're going to get it or not. You've done your application. You've had your interview. And now you're just waiting to find out what the answer is. This is probably one of my favourite times to pray, your will be done, because it's easy. It's all out of your hands at that time. But what a great and perfectly appropriate prayer to pray, to say, God, whatever the outcome, whatever's next, I know now it is safely out of my hands. I've already done all that I can. But Father, your will be done, and I will accept what comes from your hand. What about when you're choosing, say, something like between two good options? Let's say you're looking at the next house to rent or move into or whatever it is. You've got two or three options on the table. How do you choose? What's the will of God? Oh, God, your will be done. How do you pray that in that scenario? I think the main thing to pray really there is to pray for God's wisdom. And to know what God's will is. That God's will is for you to do right and to do good. And if there's two houses or two meals that are equally morally good, then really in the end it doesn't matter. And whatever you do will fall into the will of God. There is no doubt, there's no question, there's no hand-wringing. I know choices are hard, this tile or that tile. Do we go mid-grey grout or charcoal grout between the tiles? It's not a matter of the will of God. They're both morally neutral, but do good. What about if there's something in your life that you feel like you're missing and you really want? So let's say you're a single person and you would love a husband or a wife. Or let's say you are in a relationship and the relationship isn't going well and you would really desire healing in that. And you know that sometimes the will of God does involve suffering and that actually maybe my path in the short term is just pain and maybe that will be good for me somehow, even though, you know, even though it's not really what I want. How do you pray God's will in that situation? Or you know, you want a more suitable car or home and you know it's not, you know, the end of the world if you don't have it. But can you pray for those things? Absolutely. Absolutely pray for those things. Pray for a husband and wife. Pray for healing in relationships. Pray for a more suitable car or home or for the finances to do what's on your heart to do. Leave it in the Lord's hands. We are given almost a blank check to ask the Lord for anything we desire. In fact, this prayer, "Your will be done," is sort of a binding together of the Lord's will and ours. And as we pray to God as our Father, we realize, or we should be learning, I think, that the Lord actually does bend his will towards us. If you're a father, you will know that your will bends towards your children when they, you know, look at you sweetly. But that's not to say we will always get what we ask. We should still have, at least in our mind, if not in our words, this clause, "Your will be done," because we trust God has our best in store. But that shouldn't stop us from praying for the things that we want. What about the case of sickness? How do we pray for that? You know, there's a story just after this prayer in chapter 9 of Matthew where there's a man who is sick. He's got a skin disease, leprosy, a terrible disease of shame, leaving him ostracized in those days. And he says to Jesus, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And before Jesus even says anything, in fact, he reaches out and touches the man and then says, "I am willing, be clean." In the case of sickness, what is the will of God? It's to be healed. Let's pray for healing. Let's not be ashamed or apologetic about asking for that. But we do also need to understand something about the time that Jesus is operating in here. Jesus is ushering in the kingdom of God. He is showing to us what it will be like when what is done in heaven is done on earth. And so he's illustrating to people the power and the purpose of the kingdom of God, that that sin will be forgiven and sickness will be healed. He does not, in that moment, make any promises that every short-term illness will be healed. But that still shouldn't stop us from asking boldly, well and truly within the will of God, isn't it, to ask to be healed? And I love that the man didn't even pray with, you know, some sort of convinced confidence. He said, "Oh, if you are willing." There's a sort of an uncertainty. But the Lord Jesus still honored that prayer and answered that prayer. Maybe it wasn't the perfect prayer. Or maybe it was. "Your will be done." Couple of others. What about the case of evangelism? Yeah, when you've got a friend who you really want to share the gospel with, you know that what they need is a new and transformed life. How do you pray your will be done for those people? Well, what's the will of God for those people? It isn't mainly suffering. It's mainly salvation. That is the will of God. I mean, that is just plain through Scripture. And so let's pray confidently and boldly for the salvation of our friends and our neighbours. What about in the case of your own salvation? Your own personal doubts and fears? When guilt is getting the better of you, or maybe you think, maybe my belief isn't quite good enough. What's the will of the Father? His will is that you will be saved. We can pray confidently for his salvation. We can pray confidently for his Holy Spirit, knowing that we are praying well and truly within the bounds of his will. And he does answer our prayers. Look, I've come across this a few times where there is, it's said that sometimes it can be a lack of faith to pray to God for something and close out the prayer with, but God only if it is your will. Have you come across that sort of thing, that's a lack of faith? That what we should be doing is believing and taking hold of something even before it's realized? But I actually contend the opposite, and I think Jesus teaches the opposite. Praying your will be done is the true prayer of faith. Because remember, faith isn't just whether you believe a thing or decide a thing in your head, but it's whether in your heart you trust God with whatever it is he does. And so to say your will be done and to leave the details up to God, that is, I believe, the true prayer of faith. I'm going to read just finally from the end of Matthew when Jesus prays, your will be done. Because I think it's really helpful for all of us to see that actually when you're struggling to know or submit to God's will, you can actually pray yourself into the will of God. And I think that's what Jesus does in this case. So I'm going to read to us from Matthew chapter 26. You can follow along because it's a few verses long. Matthew chapter 26, verse 38 to 46 on page 832. Matthew 26, verse 38. This is just before Jesus is betrayed. Jesus said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Do you, like me, find submission hard to do? Well, Jesus was facing the most extreme circumstances you could face. And he prayed those words, "Your will be done." And he had to do it 3 times at least. It was tough. But I think it's a good practice for you and I to be praying regularly, frequently, "Your will be done." Practicing that perfect submission, knowing that in the end, God's plan is your salvation. Let's pray now. And then we're going to sing the words of the song, "Blessed Assurance," which remind us particularly of that point. Let's pray. Now, Father, please help us to say with heart and meaning those words, "Your will be done." We thank you that as we read even Christ's prayer of those words, we are comforted to know that we can say it with meaning, even if we don't feel it at the time, that we can be torn, but still come to you and say, "Lord, this is what we want our prayer to be, even if it currently isn't." We thank you that you've given us the words to get our mind in the mindset that we should have. Your will be done. Father, we need to confess that so often our will is not your will. And that so often we would do anything to avoid praying, "Your will be done." Because actually, we think we know better, or certainly we just want what we want, and we want to serve ourselves. Father, we ask that you will forgive us for that. We pray that you will reveal to us the times that we would rather choose our way than yours. And we pray that you will give us hearts and minds that can truly and deeply pray, "Your will be done." And Father, we pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.